Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Anthem Biosciences Q3 and FY26 earnings conference call hosted by JM Financial Institutional Securities Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Amit Chalker from JM Financial Institutional Securities Limited. Thank you and over to you, sir.
Yeah, thank you, Danish. Good afternoon and warm welcome to all the participants on Anthem Biosciences 3Q FY26 earnings call hosted by JM Financial. Today on this call, we have with us from the management, Mr. Ajay Bhardwaj, Managing Director and Chief Executive Officer, and Mr. Gavir Parekh, Chief Financial Officer. I will now hand over the call to Mr. Ajay Bhardwaj for his opening remarks. Thank you and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Amit. Namaskar. This is Ajay Bhardwaj, CEO and founder of Anthem Biosciences. I would like to start by reporting that our consolidated revenue from operations for the 9 months ending on December 31st, 2025, for this financial year, that is, was 1,513 crores. The CRDMO business, out of which was 1,260 crores, and the specialty ingredient delivered 254 crores. A very positive growth in EBITDA. EBITDA was stronger than ever at 671 crore, which gave us an EBITDA margin of 41.5%. This does include an additional income, other income of 105 crores, which was on account of forex gains, road tax, and financial and other non-operating income. When you compare to the previous year, which was 72 crores, this time it's grown to 105 crores. Now, our PBT, before exceptional items, was 572 crores. We're very happy with this number. And this year, there was one-time exceptional item of 25.4 CR. And it's largely because of the, in November 21st, 2025, the government notified 4 new labor codes, and as a result of which we had to take an exceptional item, exceptional of 25.4 crores. Now, PAT after tax was 402 crores with our PAT margin at 24.8%. When you compare this with the previous year, this is after the exceptional item, with previous year was 25.7%. So, in fact, PAT has grown from 369 crores in the previous 9 months to this 9 months to 402 crores. So our consolidated revenue from operations for the quarter, now Q3 I'm going to talk about, was 423 crores. Out of which 333 crores was CRDMO and 90 crores was specialty ingredients. EBITDA for the quarter was 191 crores, which is 41.8%. This also includes, as I said, that there is a other income of 33.5 crores. PBT before exceptional item was 156 crores. And PAT, that is profit after tax, was 93 crores and PAT margin was 20.3%. So, in conclusion, I would like to say our 9-month FY26 performance has shown a steady progress in revenue terms, and with improving margin profile, our EBITDA has grown at 23%. And PBT before exceptional items has grown around by about 20%. Our quarterly revenue performance was lower than the Q3 of the previous financial year, and that was influenced largely by the higher base that we had that time. Although the margin improvement utilized the revenue discrepancy. The underlying demand, and in conclusion, our underlying demand remains robust, and our historically strongest quarter, which is the fourth quarter, is still ahead, and we are confident of delivering a strong finish to this financial year. And this in a nutshell has been Anthem's performance for the 9 months and the quarter that we just finished, that is Q3. So I'll leave the floor for questions. Anybody has any questions, I'd be very happy to. Me and along with me, Mr. Gawir Beg, who's our CFO, is also here. We'd be very happy to answer those.
Thank you so much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question comes from the line of Vivek Agarwal from Citigroup. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for the opportunity. Just want to understand your full year guidance, right? So in the 9 months, we have the top line grew us in the low double digit, and the full year guidance was somewhere close to around 20% plus. So is it still holding that guidance, given that you also talked about that the fourth year is going to be strong? So just some color on the full year guidance, actually, that would be helpful.
So Vivek, Kavir will respond to that.
So Vivek, with respect to our 9 month performance, although revenue has grown at about 11-12%, we will have a strong finish to the year. Quarter four has traditionally been the highest quarter for us because that's the nature of the CDMO business, and we should be looking at a good quarter four as well. What we had mentioned was, you know, we would look at a revenue growth estimate of about 20% with EBITDA margins remaining constant, margin profile remaining steady. We'll also look at a margin growth of 20% both on EBITDA and PAT terms as well. What we are seeing right now is our margin has improved from last year numbers to current year numbers, and that has been on account of several factors which we had talked about in terms of backward integration. Material margins have improved. We have kept our cost under control from an operating leverage point of view. We'll continue to grow on the margins, and that will reflect in a EBITDA performance which will be upwards of 20% from a guidance point of view for the full year as well, for FY26, as well as PAT margins upwards of 20%. In terms of revenue growth, it will be in the mid-teens, around 15-16% is what we're anticipating to end the year with. But our margin guidance of 20% plus on EBITDA and PAT remains intact, and we will look at delivering more than the numbers that we have talked about on it, 20% number for EBITDA and PAT.
Thanks. And given that we have seen a structural we have seen margin expansion, right? So how much is likely to be structural, right? So are we seeing some flow through in FY27 as well, right? Because it looked like that the growth margins have expanded meaningfully, and the margins have expanded in EBITDA margin have expanded in this quarter despite sharp increase in employee expenses, etc. Right? So is it fair to assume that in 27 and 28, for example, the margins may trend significantly higher than this year?
Our aspiration is always to have the margin trend pointing north. And if you look at our document as well, what we had submitted to the to SEBI when we are doing the IPO, we had mentioned that for one of the customer products, a lot of intermediates was being outsourced, and hence our China procurement had shot up in one particular year. What had happened over the course of this financial year is we have completely discontinued that kind of China supplies, because now we manufacture the intermediates in-house by procuring the raw materials, so we are completely backward integrated, and hence that shift is seen in the material margin improvement. So structurally, we want to ensure that material margin continues to improve. There is on products as well, we want to have yield improvement so that could benefit us as well as our customers. So material margin, we want to move trend north. Other expenses as well as employee costs are mostly less variable, more fixed in nature. So unless we are looking at a significant expansion, which we are, keeping in mind that new expansion is getting added, but But this being fixed in nature, there would be a lot of some operating leverage which should come in play. Having said so, we are operating at a good level of, from an EBITDA margin point of view, which is upwards of 40%, and we want to keep our margin steady. Though aspiration-wise, we want to grow, but we will keep our margin steady.
Understood. And just last question, if I may ask, on revenues, right? So you have talked about that some slowdown because of high base, but is there any disruption in a couple of or one or two products, etc., and whether these products are expected to come back maybe in the 4Q or next year? If you can provide some color. Thank you.
Yeah, this is a business question for sure. A lot of our peers, and this is a global phenomenon because we've had a very turbulent last nine or a year or so, in terms of the uncertainty in the marketplace, and uncertainty certainly with regard to funding as well as our customers' future plans. So which many companies they have destocked a little bit, and they have rationalized their stocks to lower level of safety stock. So that is one reason why there's been a little slowdown. Otherwise, we were very confident of delivering 20% growth in the top line as well. However, that situation will be in our mind, and what we hear from them is that that will be corrected in the subsequent year. So we are very hopeful. We're very positive. Nothing has changed materially for us on the ground, and we continue to add more customers in the biotech space, and also have added actually in this year some large pharma customers as well. The numbers are not significant yet, but once you add big pharma customers, some of these numbers can become very significant. So we are very, very positive about the FY27 and 28.
That is great. So just you have added one large pharma customer this year, right? So it's just can you provide some more clarity, like advanced molecule or some for example, molecules in the starting phase, like phase 1 or phase 2?
No, we've added more than one large customer. So there is some of it is development work. Some of these products have been approved. So they are going into the market. But as you know, when a new product approval comes in, it takes time to build sales. So, but what's good is that, you know, we are in with the customer on supply of advanced intermediates. And should the product grow, and that of course depends on the success in the marketplace, but obviously big companies always have a better possibility of achieving success, we will grow with them. So, you know, our bet is on the fact that as our customers grow, we will ride on that to grow strongly. At the same time, we've actually, as we said before, we've had four new approvals and four new products in the last year, in this year rather, which have got approval. So we feel we are in a very good position to benefit from them subsequently.
Understood, sir. Thank you. All the best.
Thank you. Thank you, Vivek.
Thank you so much, sir. Our next question comes from the line of Shayan Mukherjee from Nomura. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my question. On next year, you know, you indicated things should get better. So should we expect growth closer to what your trajectory has been, around 20% in fiscal 27 on back of, you know, the existing commercial product and the new launches that you had ramping up?
Yes, Ryan, it's a tough question to answer. I am very optimistic, but can I give it? I mean, we're not finished with this year. When we are more into the next year early, we'll have more visibility. But obviously, you know, as we have said before, and that has not changed. Our business tends to be lumpy. It tends to be good in some quarters, not so good in other quarters. But directionally, we are looking, you know, northwards in terms of top line and bottom line, and we expect to maintain. So, if you're saying in the next 5 years will we have a CAGR of what we've had in the last 5 years, I expect so. But will it be immediately next year? I can't say till I'm a little bit into that year. It's a little bit still distant from us. But, you know, it won't be for the want of trying. We've been very good in terms of discipline, in terms of execution, and that hasn't changed. What has also not changed is our customers' confidence in us and the regulatory environment for us. If anything, with the new announcement, which is, you know, that India and US are friends again all over, you know, there is nothing, no tensions in trade, that will also, you know, which had actually put a lot of unease in our customers' mind, that also has, and then with the EU-India trade deal, we expect that things are now on even keel. So that's always good for business, and I'm very positive.
Great. Just to, you know, get some color, because there are a lot of moving parts here. So if I understand correctly, you know, the last few years you had, you know, quite a good ramp up in some of your commercial products. So when you look forward for the next couple of years, which will be a bigger growth driver for Anthem? Would be the ramp up of your recently commercialized products, like the four that you had, or the ones which are already in the market, you could get more volumes, market share? How should we think? Or, you know, you're also talked about, you know, lateral contracts. So I'm wondering, can those sort of start ramping up pretty quickly? So these are the like three drivers that I see. If you can, you know, give some color as to what, which one would be the most, or if you can rate the importance of these drivers for you, at least in the short term.
Yeah, again, you asked me a very tough question. My simple answer will be all of the above. We would love to see all of them grow. We expect that the commercial products, which have still the ones that we are already supplying to, which are our established products, they have still a lot of headroom to grow. And, you know, there are many markets where, major markets where approvals are awaited. So I expect that, you know, there we'll have some very decent numbers. As you rightly said, some of these new products, I expect that they will be a little slower to take off in the next year, if you're looking at next year, but, you know, 3 or 4 years from now, we could be like, you know, laughing all the way to the bank, as they say, because these would become major products. There is a lot of effort from on our side to go laterally into companies, and that is also yielding fruits. So this is a hard one to answer. You know, they have shown a lot of interest, and if we hit a jackpot with one or two of them, it'll be wonderful. But, you know, can I predict it at this point? I don't have a crystal ball. I'm afraid not. But if you say cumulatively all these three activities, that is what matters. Put together, it will give us a stronger foundation and a stronger base, and therefore we'll be more steady. So I'm not worried, and you've pointed out the three, you know, corners on which we are, edifices on which we are building, both being our specialty ingredients.
Also, Sandra, the existing molecules, the base is higher. For the new molecules, they've just gone commercial, base is lower. So from a base effect point of view, if you look at it, the percentage growth might be slightly higher for the newer molecules, because the base is too small for them. Existing molecules, even if we continue to grow at a decent rate over there, that will help us, the overall basket will then show a good growth across both existing and new.
Understood. Just if I can ask one last question before I join back, this material cost to sales, you explained, you know, it is the gross margin improvement because of intermediate supplies now coming to India. Is the full impact already there in the numbers, or, you know, how should we think about this number in the quarters ahead, please? Thanks.
The impact is there in the numbers. That's with respect to a particular product in the CDMO revenue stream. So the material margin is a component which is a weighted average across multiple products in CDMO as well as products in the specialty ingredient side. But to answer your question, the full impact is there because we don't source the intermediate anymore from China, and we are completely now backward integrated with the filings, everything taken care of. So outsourcing is nil right now. So the full impact is baked in.
And so this level of margin should sustain in your view, gross margin.
Should be.
Oh.
Should be able to.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Bansi Desai from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi. Thanks for taking my question. So my first question is on our pipeline. If you can comment on how, you know, this has grown particularly, early phase, phase one, phase two. We know phase three, out of 10 molecules, four have been commercialized, so probably you would have six in the phase three as of today, if you can, so if you can just update on that. And out of the early phase, any indication as to, how many of them are likely to move into phase three in your view in next 1 to 2 years?
So, with respect to early phase molecules, we still have similar numbers, about 130 to 140 numbers, which are there on the pipeline side. I think on the phase two programs, it will be about 5 or 6 of them, which will be in the phase two side, which we could expect to move towards phase three in the next couple of years, 18 to 30 months sort of a time frame. Subject to, they clearing the development hurdles, because in our business, it's also subject to the clinical trials. The pipeline on early stage is still robust. On the phase three side, we haven't added any more from what it was in quarter two of last year. Four molecules went commercial, so still at six. There was one particular molecule which had gone through FDA. I think it has come back to the company for additional work. So we are waiting for an outcome of that to understand what is the status of the phase 3 molecule. But right, as of now, phase 3 numbers remains the same.
When we generally hear, improvement in the biotech funding environment, in the recent months, also there has been a lot of pent-up demand given the funding environment has been weak altogether in the last 2-3 years. So are we likely to see, benefits of that, trickling to us, as we go ahead? Are we likely to see more expansion of our pipeline or the phase products especially?
Yeah, that's a very good observation, Bansi, because we have actually, your estimation is absolutely correct. We are seeing an improvement in environment. Lot many requests for RFQs have come in the last one quarter, and it suddenly, it wasn't looking so healthy for a while now, but it is turning around, and that's what we hear from our customers as well. So, which is always good news for us. And if the rest of the geopolitical scene settles down, of course, that is something you and I can't control. But if it happens, and all indications are that at least on the trade side, we are now not at loggerheads with major Western partners, I think it will be really good for us. So yeah, you're absolutely right. I think new things are going to happen. And the rest is, of course, we have to, we can just hope and pray that the success of molecules in the marketplace gets better. So, and that's something that, we have no control on it, but if that happens, again, Anthem will be a direct beneficiary.
That's good to know. And maybe my second question, semaglutide API, given the product is going to go generic very soon, we have spoken in the past about, manufacturing API for domestic generic players here once the product goes off patent. So how should we think about that opportunity? We also at the same time hear China being extremely competitive. I know you mentioned in the past that you are also going to be competitive in terms of pricing, but how do you see this whole opportunity playing out for us?
Well, as we have said repeatedly, we are very much in the mix. However, many companies in India are also taking a big bet on it. But I would say we are among the very few who are completely backward integrated. That is Anthem's mantra, has always been that we, as you saw, improvement of margins this year. If we are dependent on critical raw materials or a critical input from sources outside of India, or which are not under our control, we work quite assiduously to make sure that we reverse that situation. So even in the case of semaglutide, we are arguably the most backward integrated company in the country. So over the long term, we see a very good play in it. We are in conversations and, in advanced stage of supplying raw materials for different types of testing. to many of the customers who, many of our customers within India who are playing in that space. So yeah, it is very much a position for us that we have taken. But I just want to say, for us, peptide is more than just GLP-1 semaglutide. We are working with innovators and we are working with many other small biotech because this is an area of very large interest. So Anthem has made a sizable investment in developing peptide chemistries. And so we work with innovators to ensure that we work on novel molecules as well. So GLP is a more immediate opportunity. However, as we can all imagine, you yourself mentioned China will be very aggressive, but you know, we believe we'll be able to face the competition. But that's more immediate, but we also have a long-term play in peptides.
All right, thank you so much. I'll join back with you.
Thanks, Vansi.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Amit Chalke from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for giving the opportunity. So I have one question on the capacity utilization. So is it possible for us to give utilization across unit 1, 2, 3? And are we fine with the capacity, the available capacity for the 20% growth expectation for next 2 years?
Yeah, on capacities, we have no problem. You know, we've commissioned expansion units just now, even in unit 2. So, Gabriel will give you the numbers, the details. But yeah, capacity-wise, we are good. And this can take care of the next couple of years. Meanwhile, our unit 4 will also become available. So, as we have said repeatedly, we have to be bold in planning expansion and also have a fair degree of first capacity to see that this business is now is pointing in this direction. And make those bets in advance. So capacity wise, you're okay. Sorry, David, you want to elaborate?
Yeah, I'll elaborate. So specifically on units by unit capacity utilization that you have asked for, see, unit 1 is a small scale facility, 25 kiloliters custom synthesis capacity, and we are almost operating at about close to 75% occupancy over there. Unit 2, where we have 376 kiloliters capacity from a custom synthesis manufacturing point of view, and in the last quarter we had just commissioned our the CP7, which is a new block which was about 76 kiloliters. So that block is yet to be utilized. Leaving that aside, on 300 kiloliters of capacity, we are roughly about 75% utilized over there. So we have close to about 20% incremental capacity to add up over there. New Anthem, which is the third unit, that's still underutilized because that also is in a very early stage from an capacity, from a ramping up mode. So there we have significant scope to add more utilization. So that's on the custom synthesis side. Fermentation, New Anthem is yet to be commissioned. On Anthem fermentation, 140 kiloliters, we would be about 46-47% capacity utilized. So we have decent capacity to continue on the growth path.
Right. And we do have scope for further brownfield expansion in Unit 2, Unit 3, or this is it, what we have added so far?
Unit 1, full. Unit 2, full, no scope of expansion. The scope of expansion which was there, we added in this financial year, where we added 130 kiloliters. Okay. Unit 3, after this initial completion of this expansion, which is the fermentation capacity, what we have done is we have constructed shells, which could be repurposed. So the reason why we have constructed shells is it prevents any element of civil work and hence any disruption which could happen onto the overall infrastructure in Unit 3. So we have constructed three different shells which could be repurposed and where we can quickly fit out on custom synthesis or fermentation or any other form of expansion which you want to do. So there are three blocks which are empty blocks in Unit 3.
Right. And
to expand over there.
Sure. And in Unit 4, have you finalized yet on the modalities of which we would be making in the new unit, or is it yet to be done?
Some of it is going to be small scale molecule expansion, which we know we will need because a lot of the thrust in early development is in small scale molecules. So again, going by past performance, some of these molecules will start moving towards commercialization and we will need extra capacity. So that is going to happen. Then we are going to be expanding more in peptides. We need to add more fermentation because large scale fermentation, because there is projects that are being discussed with us on that, and then oligos. So these are some of the novel, and if some of the peptide projects start looking rosier, then we will add more oncology products, that is high potential capacities as well.
So the last question I have is on the fermentation side. We have a good experience of working on the fermentation related technology, but so far we have been limited to only pharma. Is there any thought process of going into non-pharma fermentation opportunities? Because some of our peers are also thinking on that. Yeah. Thank you.
If there is opportunity to do something which is non-pharma and it will, give us the right IP protection for our clients and the right kind of product, yes, we'll do it. For sure. And we are having some of those discussions. It is in some way, it's not new to us. We do nutrition-based products anyway, which are fermentation-based, and they are non-pharma. But we might even look at something industrial if it is the right product mix and it has a great future. And we have some discussions in with respect to that as well. So, yes.
Sure. And last question I have on the specialty ingredients. What would be the growth driver for specialty ingredients for next 2 to 3 years? One is the GLP-1. Apart from this, what all things would drive the growth in specialty ingredients? Thank you, and I will join back with you.
Okay. On specialty ingredients, there are three growth drivers. One, obviously, you've talked about on GLP-1. The second one is we're investing significantly on fermentation. The intent over there is a lot of probiotic work, what we do for our clients. Significant amount of probiotic strains gets imported from outside of India. And hence, we have tied up with a fairly large Indian customer where we are looking at, from an import substitution point of view, we'll be supplying that probiotic to them going forward for India market as well as for with respect to this customer, for India market as well as for ROW markets, and for other customers, the probiotic part will be a significant growth to be on the specialty ingredient side. The third growth factor for specialty ingredients is the biosimilar product. We are working on the development of a biosimilar product for a particular US customer, which is an approved biosimilar drug. They manufacture it outside of India, and we've been working with them on the development of this biosimilar so that the manufacturing could shift to India and we can supply to them from India. So major growth drivers are these three. Existing products, we still will continue to grow. We have couple of products on vitamin K27, Therasia 50 days. These are our flagship fermentation-based products. We will continue to grow in those products. Probiotic strains, enzymes, these are all organic growth. These are the new areas where probiotics is not a new area specifically, but it's a focused area for us. And the new areas are the GLP-1 and the biosimilars for us for specialty ingredient growth.
Sure. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Neha Manpuria from Bank of America. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question. As we're starting work or doing work on Unit 4, you mentioned that, obviously there's a fair bit of order that you're sort of building up, but how should we think about creating capacity versus, when getting into new business, particularly if I look at, CapEx across peers, both in India, China, and Europe on the CDMO side. Is that capacity investment essential for our, to get new business? That's my first question. And second, on peptides, while you did mention that, you know, you want to get more on peptides, what do you think differentiates Anthem from its, on its ability to get more business on peptides? How should we get more confidence around that? Thank you.
Thank you, Neha. The first question is a very important and also a little bit of a philosophical question. How do we decide what capacity to put? Listen, again, for everybody who's on this call, in our business, first we have to build it and then they will come. Our customers want to see that we have the capability as well as the capacity to handle the project, then only they are interested in giving us the project. See, we all admire China's scale, but they build capacities and then they were able to fill it up with the business from the world. So some of that, without being, sometimes I think, you know, we have to do it carefully, and so far we've done it, we've managed our capex versus our business fairly well, and that's reflected in our return on our ROCEs, which are very strong. We have to build new capacities, then only we can attract more customers. So when do we start building these new capacities? We start building them in advance of when you see that some of these projects that you are looking at, which are in phase two now, may advance to phase three and phase three to commercial. So at that point, you have to plan your capacities, and that's why we are so bullish about it. Second, of course, is, our projects tend to be greenfield. It's very hard for us to, you know, we have looked around for acquiring a good asset, but it's very hard to find really good assets. So we build greenfield a lot and to a standard that will pass muster with regulators as well as our own internal standards as well as our customer standards. And I think we are second to none when it comes to that. And that's another reason why we have to start building in advance. The question on that you asked on peptide, we are, without taking any names, we are already making a few peptides commercially. All of them are in the generic space, and we supply to many to customers in India, and also in talks with customers overseas now. And with GLP-1, which our partners all recognize that they have the ability to do it, and that is the reason why innovator companies are looking at Anthem to partner with us to develop new peptides. If they didn't have confidence in our ability, they will not come to us. So peptide is something we have, I would say, reached a fair degree of proficiency in making and in developing. And so we are in a good place there. I don't have any names to give you, but trust me and believe me that they are among the pioneers in peptide development in the country now.
I'd like to add something, Neha, on this. See, peptides, we started work around 2012, 13, 14, around that time when we were doing lab scale work for most of our customers. We currently work with innovator peptides. Close to about 8-9 programs are there on innovator peptides which are under development. From lab scale, now we have expanded into a full-blown 16 kiloliters commercial scale manufacturing facility at New Anthem. It's a fantastic facility. You should come visit and see us on the peptide facility. So we, as a competitiveness to or a differentiator to customers, we have ability of doing discovery development and commercial manufacturing on peptides and commercial and manufacturing at scale with the new facility which has just come up. So that gives a good proposition for customers to keep the product more development or in a late scale project also to come to us, because you don't then need to venture out somewhere else looking out for capacity to tech transfer the project. So that's a differentiator for us. On the generic peptide, GLP-1, they did talk about, we are completely backward integrated over there. We manufacture the fermentation fragment as well as the synthesis. And only companies in India to be completely backward integrated and hence be competitive from a cost point of view to play to compete against the Chinese on semaglutide. So that's the uniqueness or the competitiveness when we target our Indian customers who are looking at tapping the ROW markets as well as India markets in the GLP-1 space, the generic semaglutide space, right?
That's very helpful, sir. Just a follow-up on the first question. So Unit 3, as we see, you know, it's ramping up probably in 27, more so in fiscal 28, would it be fair to assume that we get to that 1.4, 1.5 asset turn probably in 3 years' time? Would that be a fair assumption?
I would say that's a good assumption. Definitely we have to do it.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Our next question comes from the line of Jayesh Gandhi from Dalal & Broacha. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. I just wanted to confirm on the four new molecules that have been approved in the past quarter, have they started contributing to our revenues? And when can we see a full ramp-up of these molecules?
Yes, they have contributed revenues for this 9 months. Because customers have taken smaller batches because they are just looking at launching this product in the market. But I think the major impact we will get to see only towards the end of this calendar year when we get to know more orders from them. This is still at an early stage of commercial launch, so the product will, if I have to see a full-blown impact, maybe it might take a couple of years for these four commercial molecules to show good results as what our existing molecules have shown.
Go ahead.
I was just going to add that the products which are with small biotechs, they don't really take off right away because more often than not, these companies are already parallelly negotiating to sell themselves to big pharma. So there is always a little lull. Now that they have an approved product, they are taking quantities to go for a launch, but at the same time, they're also working on mergers and acquisitions, as a result of which we very often find that only after big pharma steps in, there is a possibility of a quick ramp up. But this is not something, again, an event that we know fully of. And we can't control it also. But this is another reason why sometimes there is a lag between the product being commercially approved and giving you the full benefit of full-blown commercial success. So that time we have to wait.
And sir, is the end market potential for these products lucrative enough for large pharma? Any indication? What size could they reach? Anything you can? Are they expected to be blockbusters?
Some of them are. And remember, very often the indication in which they get their first approval is usually a small or an orphan indication. That is just to get the product approved. Parallelly, people start working immediately on other indications, and that's what's happening with these molecules. And that's the reason why they've taken more material for more clinical trials as well. So very often, a small molecule indication is an entry point, and after that is when the expansion takes place. So some of these products are in that mode as well. One of our biggest products got one approval. Today it has 6 or 7 indications which are approved, and that's what makes it a blockbuster. So this is happening parallelly.
Just to add, I think in the last call I would have given some estimates of the peak market sales for these four customers. For four products, roughly peak market sales, roughly about $10 billion. And I haven't checked any changes on the analyst estimates for these four end molecules in this course of the last 2-3 months. Analyst numbers would have changed significantly. But my sense is it's a $10 billion estimate across the four molecules which are there, which got commercial for us.
Okay. Perfect. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Karthik Bane from Bajaj Life Insurance. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much for the opportunity. I just wanted to understand this 1,000 crore capex for the Unit 4 that we have planned for the in terms of 2 years. So where exactly are we? What would be the execution milestones and bottlenecks to watch out for?
So, Karthik, currently the civil work is going on. So what we are doing is, it's a 30-acre land parcel, so we are looking at phase one and a phase two. So we are looking at only half of the land parcel right now to construct, and the civil work is ongoing right now. So significant spends haven't happened because construction takes time. I think towards in March 27 financial year, we'll have major portion of CAPEX going out for this 1,000 crore phase one expansion that we are doing. It's still in an early stage civil work mode right now on unit 4.
And secondly, on the EBITDA margin outlook or the growth that we have got, how much is contributed by the constant currency, as most of our projects are also outside India?
So, if you look at it, what we have given out in the financial is, so specialty ingredients is purely India income, because 90% of the business is India and specialty ingredients. CDMO is where it's completely export oriented and dollar denominated. Whatever increment, so we as a policy don't hedge, and hence whatever appreciation from a currency, what we have seen is what we recognize as an FX income, which we have articulated as other operating income in the opening statement that Ajay had mentioned. The other operating income, which is not factored in the revenue line item, in the revenue from operations line item, is about 41 crores for 9 months, and for this quarter it is about 6.4 crores.
Okay, and lastly, of the molecules in the early stages, do we have any ADCs there? Like, out of these 130, 140, how many would be ADCs?
There's one in late stage, there is one molecule which is in phase 3, there is one molecule which is an ADC. On the early stage, I would say we'll have about 6 to 7 programs which are ongoing.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, Karthik.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Sanjay Kumar from iThoughts PMS. Please go ahead.
Hi sir, thanks for the opportunity. First is just a follow-up on semaglutide. Are we focusing on the oral sema or the injectable version of semaglutide? And last quarter, I think we had said that process validation is underway. So any timelines for filing DMF, and have you signed any customers in India?
See, we are not in the fill finish thing, so we focus on semaglutide as the active, not the oral or injectable. And yes, we have signed up with a bunch of customers in India. Are we filing a DMF in the US? Yes, no. But that is something which will be subsequent, because at the moment, most of our customers are focused on launching it in ROW. And that is something which we are very, very well geared up for. And yes, we've done validation batches and all the rest of it. So we haven't filed the DMF, though we are in a position to do it.
Michelle, aapko call kabhi hai? Mere call activate karunga, please.
Hello. Any call?
Yeah, got me.
Okay. So I said, though we haven't filed the DMF, though all the documentation and PMC document needed for that is ready. But we are working with our customers to do that. Yes, we are working with major Indian companies in this space.
No, I understand the API, but the customers who are fine with it, will they be using it for oral or injectable version? Do we have any visibility on that, or we don't?
Many of them are trying to develop oral. Oral is a little hard, but everybody will use it for injectable right away. But oral also has patents which are longer, which go a little further. But yeah. I know that there are a few people who are working on orals as well, so oral will definitely be in the mix.
Okay. And second, a couple of questions on biosimilars. We have repurposed a plant for biosimilar. What is the reactor scale or the capacity from this plant? And the product that we have signed, is it a NAB or a fusion protein?
Oh, it's a microbial biosimilar, and it is our capacity is we have two trains, one is each of 200 liters fermentation, and that can produce a lot of products because microbial fermentations are usually 1 or 2 days only, as opposed to CHO, CHO fermentation, which can be weeks. So, yeah, it is a large molecule based on microbial microbial bug. It's a microbe.
Got it. And what is the current global market size for this biosimilars, and what revenue can we expect in say FY28 for this product?
Oh, it's the product is a massive. It's gone biosimilar long time ago. And you know, there are other players in it, but the company that we are working with have a decent market share in the US. So they already have got this product in the market, which they currently make in the US. The idea for them is to stop that production and shift that production to us, so that they can get all the advantages of Anthem's technology as well as the low cost input that we provide. And that model, they have a fairly good, decent business already. Remember this particular area, it's been generic for a long time. There has been no replacement for it. There are other players who make this, but in this space, though this is a very old molecule, it's the only one that is approved for this indication, and no new replacements have come. So it has stood the test of time.
Okay. And can you comment on the future pipeline for biosimilars? You said this is a microbial, but can you also do a CHO-based mammalian biosimilars? Where are we on the other biosimilars?
Yeah, Sanjay, we are working on a bunch of projects there, and those are also biosimilars. Again, we have chosen some products where there are no biosimilars available, even though the product has gone off patent, and we are working with one of them is fairly advanced, and we expect that should go in the market in the next 2 years.
Oh, then is this 200 liters capacity enough for
us? We'll have to build new capacity for that. That's something which is going to be a separate facility. Unit 3 has, we've created, as we said, the infrastructure already. What we are putting in place, and that's already past the design stage. We are now just negotiating with vendors to supply, partly single use and partly fixed fermentation for chosen.
Okay. Final question is again, what will be the capex that we needed to set up a 16-KL peptide facility? Just trying to understand the replacement cost.
So, if you look at proportionate capex, including the other utilities which is set up as part of the facilities, then roughly it will be about 200 odd crores.
Okay, got it. And from the 200,
because that will be you set up other utilities like ETP and ancillary blocks, etc., which is common to the facility, common to the plant. Other blocks are there, so you have to proportion that as well. So from that point of view, it will be roughly about 200 crores should be there.
Okay, and let's say we make 200 kg output of peptides. What kind of EBITDA margin can we make in peptides, be it GLP-1s or other generic peptides?
Oh yeah, we are very confident that we'll be able to do the, what we have. The numbers, we have done the numbers, I don't have them in front of me, but it is eminently doable. We so far have been laser focused, I would say paranoid about margins, and I don't see that going away. Trust me, we are in a very good place as far as, see the peptide, for instance, you just take GLP-1. Making the peptide is only half the story. There is a fermentation element. So you have to be able to do fermentation effectively, and at a price, which at a cost, all of you know P29 from China is very, very competitive and cheap. We will, we find that still a very attractive proposition. We don't see any worries there. So we are, you take the whole manufacture of say GLP one right away, right from fermentation to the finished product, we will be able to get the EBITDAs that we are, we've been historically been used to.
Okay, so even if let's say some API prices crash to say $100 per gram, we could still make 35% kind of EBITDA margins in peptides.
Oh, absolutely. 100 would be a nice price. It's a dream.
Wow. Okay. So that's good to hear.
I believe it will go lower than that, but yeah, 100 would be very nice.
Okay. Okay. Got it. I think that's it from my side. All the best and thank you.
Thanks. Thanks, Sanjay.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Vivek Gautam from GS Investment. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. So I just wanted to know about any destocking we are facing in any molecule, and so that is leading to some sort of soft performance over the last few quarters, and that is, and the situation might improve in the coming quarters. And second question was about what portion of our portfolio will comprise of GLP-1 drugs in FY28. Thank you.
Yeah, Vivek, you're right about talking. There has been, hello.
Oh yeah, yes sir.
Some problem with the line. See, there has been some, definitely because of the general geopolitical tension that we have seen in the last 1 year, where, you know, we have been in loggerheads with a major trading partner, United States. It has put a lot of anxiety in the mind of big pharma and as well as small biotechs. So people are being, have been very wary about building up too much stock and, you know, carrying too much inventory. So they have been a little bit mindful of reducing the number of days of safety stock. So that has affected us. Otherwise, we would have been, a bumper growth this quarter also. But again, we are seeing signs of recovery that all the destocking that had to happen has happened, and these results that we are reporting is subsequent to that. So we feel that going forward, this will be a, we will be in a very good position as far as filling up the new requirement, which will be post destocking. So that is one. On the GLP, we are, again, what percentage of revenue, I don't know, hard to say, but will it be a significant part of our turnover? I would say yes. Will it be 20-30%? I don't think so, but it still will be a major contributor to our top line as well as our bottom line.
And sir, this recent budget announcement of India, was there some incentive for the biopharma companies and the trade deals being signed in US, EU, UK and other countries also? How does that place us, sir? Thank you.
Yeah, the details of that, Vivek, are yet unknown, so I don't really know how this will play out with the US and all that. But yeah, the government is encouraging, which is a good thing. The government sees biotech as a strategic sector of economy. It should have been recognized long ago, but it's, you know, better late than never. And I think that this will definitely have a very positive impact on, but you know, they're offering incentives and PLI based things. I don't know. The details will still come out. But, you know, Anthem is already, regardless of what the government policy is, we are going to be, we are firmly entrenched in this. We have been doing this for 2 decades. And before that, you know, I've been involved for 4 decades in this now. So biotech is very close to us and we will continue to. So if the winds become favorable from the side of the government, then it's even more, it gives us more tailwind. So I'm just very bullish about this. I'm super confident that biotech, which we've talked about for such a long time, as a sector, its time has come.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you, Vivek.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, due to the time constraint, that was the last question for today. I would like to hand the conference over to the management for the closing comments. Thank you and over to you, team.
So thank you very much to JM and to all the people who were on the line. Unfortunately, only so much time and, you know, only that many questions. As we said, we would communicate to us, we have tried to be as transparent and as open about how we see the prospect of Anthem and where Anthem is headed. And we really appreciate the support that we've got from the investors and the investment community. And you will see that regardless of what happens going forward in the geopolitical situation, Anthem will continue to invest in technology, and our edge, which is something that we are laser focused on, is doing the same things differently and doing different things. That will not change. That is our mantra. And thank you very much for being on this call, and I look forward to talking to you again at the end of the year.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of JM Financial Institutional Securities Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.
Bye-bye.